All right, we'll go ahead and continue the call with Arizona coach Rich Rodriguez. Coach is online, and we'll take questions.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And we do have a question from the line of Kyle Ringo with the Bailey Camera.
Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
A couple months ago, Colorado hired Jim Leavitt as its defense coordinator. I was wondering what your take on that would be in terms of how that helps them and just your impression of Jim as a defense coordinator.
Well, having competed against him when he was at South Florida, and I thought he did an outstanding job there, and I think he's an excellent coach. And there's no question that he'll bring a lot of energy and knowledge and passion to that position. So, you know, from the outside looking in, I think it was a great hire.
Thanks, Coach.
Mm-hmm.
Our next question comes from the line of Ted Miller with ESPN.com.
Rich, you guys did something that was pretty difficult last year, which is you moved up in the Pac-12 pecking order when the Pac-12 may have been as tough as it's ever been. What was the key from your first year to last year, where you guys improved the most and were able to make the move?
Well, I think we've gotten incrementally better in all three phases, particularly defensively. I think we got better as far as making key stops. We weren't dominant, but I don't know. It's hard to be dominant this day and age with all the great offenses. But I thought we got better. And I think more than anything, I think our guys were really believing in each other and believing that we could win close games. And so a lot of games at the end went down to the wire, and I think our guys really believed that we could pull it out and held true to our mantra of playing 60 minutes and then looking up and see what happens.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Our next question comes from the line of Kyle Kinson with Avon.
Good morning, Coach. When you mentioned that with the offenses being what they are in this day and age and it being tough to be dominant, nevertheless, under Jeff, the defenses have progressed every single season. What are you anticipating from this defense this season? What kind of strides can they really take?
Well, that's a good point. What we want to do is try to get better every year and get to the point where we're playing more than just 13 or 14 guys. And we played a little bit more last year, but I think this year we'll be able to get closer to where we're playing 18 to 20 guys. We eventually want to get, I think, I would like to get to the point where we're playing 22 to 23 guys, about equal number of reps. We're not going to be there right now, but we're getting closer to that. And being able to do that, not only can you substitute fresh guys in there, but you can also change up some of your fronts and some of your coverages with different personnel and at different times during a game based on who we're playing and what kind of schemes they run.
You've had some guys on defense like Jared Tavess and Scooby that were kind of unheralded coming in and really became major contributors. Is there anybody you kind of see maybe taking on that role this next season?
I don't know. I hope so. You know, we were real spoiled with Jared and Scooby guys really under the radar. Jared was even a walk-on. And we had a few other walk-ons. And a guy like Parker Zellers, who was a kind of an unrecruited walk-on, you know, a small, undersized guy that played pretty good football for us last year, and he's gotten better. But we're looking for a couple of those guys. And we're also looking for some of the guys that have been in the program for a couple of years now that need to get bigger and stronger, and now are in the system to be able to contribute a little bit more. And, you know, I don't know if we can, you know, roll out there and, you know, have a bunch of five-star recruits every year. I hope we can get some. But I think there's players everywhere, and we got to find those guys like Scooby Wright, like Jared Tavis that really love football and want to work on their craft and get better every year.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Our next question comes from the line of Bruce Fieldman with Fox Sports.
Hey, Rich. Being a tempo guy as you are, I'm curious, the way your schedule sets up, you guys have the Thursday night game to open, and then there's, you know, I guess 9 days before that, but then after that, there is no break, there is no bye week or anything like that. Does that affect how will you guys prepare, if at all, differently in camp, maybe to deal with having no bye weeks in the regular season?
That's a good point, Bruce. In the first time of almost 30 years of coaching that was had a 12 straight games and no open dates, and that's something different for all of us. So we're going to talk about it during the summer. We're certainly going to plan our way in camp to make sure our guys are going to be fresh, and it's going to be a difficult thing to deal with, but at least we know that what we have to deal with. Now we have to plan accordingly. We cut way back on our practice time and our practice reps anyway, just because the number of plays that it seems like we play in every game. But now with no open dates at all to recover from, you know, we've got to have a good plan in August camp. We've got to obviously come to camp in shape because we don't have time to work our kinks out, so to speak. And then we've got to get a whole bunch of guys ready to play because it's going to be a tough thing week in and week out to try to stay healthy and fresh.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
And to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And we do have a question from the line of Michael Lev with Orange County Register.
Hey, Rich. At this time of year with the draft about to take place, there's all this talk about, you know, quarterbacks making the transition from the systems they play in college to the ones that they'll play in the pros. And, you know, a lot of people think, oh, these guys are coming in and they don't have the necessary skill set needed to play pro football as far as the reads that they have to make or changing plays at the line of scrimmage, et cetera. Where do you stand on that whole debate as far as the type of system you use and getting guys ready to play at the next level?
Yeah, I've heard it quite a bit. I think it's ridiculous to say, well, a guy's a system quarterback and that doesn't translate to so-called NFL pro style. I watch the NFL, and it looks like 65% of the snaps, at least, are in the shotgun, sometimes more. So I think kids that run in a shotgun spread-based offense transition easier. And I could teach a third grader in 5 minutes how to take a three-step drop and a five-step drop under center. But to teach a kid to catch and throw without the laces in the quick game and the full-field read, I think that's a learned skill. So the fact that people are using that, I think that's just talk. I mean, somebody saying something that without even – if a guy can play, a quarterback can play, he can play. And if you want to find a really good – a guy that would be a really good player in the pros, find a guy that's a really good player in college. And if he's got the intelligence and the work ethic and obviously the talent, then he can come from any system and have success in the NFL.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any further questions for Coach? All right. Hearing none, that's it. Rich, thanks for your time today. See you next week.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You bet. We'll see you.